The Skolya Rebbe Zatzal was a Holocaust survivor, passed away in the 1970s. He would often tell with his own tear-filled eyes how Rav Baruch of Mezhbuz, the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, how he would recite Karbanos in the morning. He said as he would get to the words of the Mishnayos and Zvachim that we recite in the morning, Ezu Makoman, where is the place of the Karbanos? Chikadashim are slaughtered in the north, Vechulu. Rav Baruch HaMezhbush so often, just by saying the two words, Ezehu Makoman, would burst into tears. Ezehu Makoman, not just a halachic ruling, the location of where to shecht particular animals, based on their level of sanctity, but he would burst into Ezehu Makoman. Where is that place? We don't have that place anymore. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore. Ezu Makoman, where is the place we once upon a time shechted Karbanos? And we let out such a cry. So many of the keynotes this morning, we haven't spoken about it so much, speak about the Beis HaMikdash. And it's very interesting, as the Rebbeim have been pointing out, we're in a section of the keynotes at this point, which is focusing more on individuals, on people, on communities, whether those who are well known to us or those who are nameless. And yet here, all of a sudden, we return to talk about the Beis HaMikdash. We had earlier keynotes that focused on the Beis HaMikdash. It's interesting that here, Dafka, in the middle of talking about personalities, we talk about the Beis HaMikdash. Because this keynote wants us to recognize that when we talk about the Beis HaMikdash, Bigadol, it's like talking about 6 million people killed in the Holocaust. It's very abstract. The number is just, it's too big, it's too overwhelming. So this kina helps us to break it down a little bit. This kina tells us, remember there was an aron, remember there was a paroches, remember there was a shulchan, remember there was a menorah. The same way the individual lives also were worlds unto themselves. Each of the details of the Beis HaMikdash was something so powerful, something so beautiful, spiritually, physically, and all of that was taken away from us. Achurban Beis HaMikdash, as the kina begins. It's very hard. I was speaking to a group of teenage girls yesterday at one of the NTSY programs, and I asked them, I said, what's one of the hardest parts of Tisha B'Av? I said, I'm not looking for any chidushim. Simple. What's hard about Tisha B'Av? One of the girls said, it's very hard to think about a Beis HaMikdash that we never saw. To mourn something we don't really understand what it is. So let's try for a couple of minutes to understand what Beis HaMikdash was. In the tefillah of the Yom Kippurim, one of the beautiful piyutim, Ashrei Ayin Rosa Zvul HaMisukan Chai Bo Shachan. How fortunate is the eye that was zochet to see the Beis HaMikdash, Chai Bo Shachan. A place where life was found, Chai Bo Shachan. There was a Hashras Hashchina there that was Chai, that was alive. The Beis HaMikdash was alive. We think about a Beis HaMikdash being made out of stone, being made out of precious materials. This Kina Dafka is taking us through the Kalim. We think about the details of the physical structure of the Mikdash. We forget sometimes that the Beis HaMikdash wasn't really made out of stone. Chai Bo Shachan. The Beis HaMikdash was alive. Rishim Shem Pinkus once said, why is it that sometimes people walk into a shul and from the second they get there, they can't wait to get out? Why is it? Certain people have it more often, some people less often. But sometimes from the second you enter into the davening, you're already thinking about when davening is going to be over. How does that happen? Rav Shem Shem Pinkus, how does that happen? A person comes to shul and so badly wants to leave shul. He feels like a foreigner there. He can't find his space. Existentially, he may have a makom to sit, but he doesn't feel connected. He wants to just get out of there. He feels a sense of obligation, so he comes to shul, but he kind of wants to get out of there as quickly as he can. Where does that come from? So Rav Shem Shem Pinkus explained, because a shul, a Beis HaKnesses, is a makom chai. It's a mikdash ma'at. It's a makom chai. It's a place that's alive. And if you come into the shul dead, if you come in without any interest in really being there, if you're not connected to the opportunity of talking to Rosh Baruch Hu, so Rav Shem Shem Pinkus, it's something that's foreign to the health of the being, of the person, the shul, which is alive, wants to be healthy, is almost pushing away, is rejecting this foreign entity that's entering its space. So if that's true about a shul, if a shul is so alive that sometimes a person who's not healthy, emotionally, spiritually, is not able to find a place in the shul, so can you imagine what it must have been like to come to Beis HaMikdash, how much more alive the Beis HaMikdash must have been? The Gemara is trying to work out the exact date of the Chorban, Tanis Chav Tesemar Aleph. You can't say the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the 7th of Av, because it says in Yirmiyah that it was destroyed on the 10th. You can't say it was destroyed on the 10th, because it says in Malachim Beis that it was destroyed on the 7th. The Gemara is trying to figure out what was the exact date. So the Gemara says, the enemies entered on the 7th, and on the 7th and the 8th, they ate there, and they desecrated the Makom in terrible ways. On the 9th, towards the evening, they lit the flames. And it continued to burn throughout that day and beyond, into the 10th. Had I been part of that generation, I would not have established Tisha B'Av on the 9th, but rather Elaba Asiri. Because that was the primary day that the Beis HaMikdash burnt. Why are we sitting here on the 9th? Why did the rabbis disagree with Rabbi Yochanan? For Rabbanan is chalta de parnusa adifa. The rabbis felt that the beginning of the burning, the beginning of the Chorban, is more intense. Many have raised the question, did Rabbi Yochanan not understand that concept? How terrifying that must have been, those first moments where the Beis HaMikdash was lit on fire. And even more so, it's not just a question of Rabbi Yochanan in the abstract. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who holds in Maseches Bava Kama Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph that Isho Mishum Chitzav, that when it comes to responsibility for a fire, we assess the damage from the point where it started. We're able to understand everything that's going to emerge from it from that starting point. So Lishitasa Rabbi Yochanan, we would expect Rabbi Yochanan to say that the Chorban should be defined by those first moments of lighting the Beis HaMikdash on fire. So I saw an explanation from Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Sher from Slobodka. He said, you have to understand, and it's the Yesod that we're developing right now. The Beis HaMikdash is not sticks and stones. The Beis HaMikdash was not made out of physical material. The Beis HaMikdash was not a domain. The Beis HaMikdash was a guf chai. The Beis HaMikdash was alive. If a person, God forbid, has a heart attack and they end up in the hospital, or they have a stroke, Rachmana Litzlan, or they get a terrible diagnosis and they pass away a number of months later, we establish the yard site on the day that their neshama left their body, not the day that they had the heart attack, not the day that they first found out that they had the dreaded disease. The yard site is established at the moment of Yetzias Neshama. So Rabbi Yochanan says, if you understand the Beis HaMikdash was alive, we treat it like a person. We treat it like a living entity. And therefore Rabbi Yochanan says, had I been there, I would have established the yard site of this living entity called the Beis HaMikdash on the 10th of Av. Because Chai Bo Shachan, again like we say in the Tefillah of Yom Kippur, the Beis HaMikdash was alive in remarkable ways, wondrous ways. It had the ability to contain many more people than was humanly possible. The Gemara in Yom Daf Chaf Aleph says that the Shivrei Klei Cheres Nivlan B'Makoman, that the Beis HaMikdash swallowed up broken kalim, it was absorbed into the floor. The floor of the Beis HaMikdash used to absorb the crop and the feathers from bird offerings, the ashes of the Zbech HaPnimi, the ashes of the menorah, all of it was absorbed miraculously into the floor. It was able to consume it. It had human properties to it. We read back in Kina Tez Zayin, based on the Gemara in Gittin, that when Titus HaRasha came in and he stabbed the parochas started to bleed. And of course, explains Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Sher, we would certainly not be so foolish. And even Titus, I don't think, was entirely so foolish to truly think that he had killed God. But when you stab the parochas, it bleeds. Because the Beis HaMikdash is alive. The Beis HaMikdash is something very, very real. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. We're doing Tisha B'Av today, on the 9th. Because apparently, on a certain level, we acknowledge the fact that the Beis HaMikdash actually didn't die. The Beis HaMikdash is a living entity, and this is not the yard side of the Beis HaMikdash. On a certain level, the Beis HaMikdash never died. Rav Chaim Volozhiner asked, and we're going to say it in just a moment in this kina, in the second line of this kina. Rav Chaim Volozhiner asked, how do we mourn the Beis HaMikdash year after year? Chazal established that when something is dead, when a person is no longer, after a year, that pain is erased from the heart, a person begins to forget. And yet we're about to say in this kina, Espod b'chol shana v'shana mispeid chadash. Right, we're mourning it in a new way. So is this the art side of the Beis HaMikdash? Is this not the art side of the Beis HaMikdash? If the Beis HaMikdash was truly dead, then we should have mourned it maybe one time for a year, and then it would be forgotten. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner apparently answered that it must be that the Beis HaMikdash in some way is still alive. That while the shell of the Beis HaMikdash, the outer shell of the Beis HaMikdash, the physical mikdash as we had it in this world was taken away, but there's a mikdash that's still alive, somewhere beyond, waiting to be brought down upon us. And Avos Rabbi Nosson refers to Yushalayim as Nikres Chayim, Yushalayim Nikres Chayim. As the Pasuk says, Kol HaKosav L'Chayim B'Yerushalayim. So we're talking about a living entity. And that's why, says Rav Yaakov Emdin, when we bench, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rachim, the Hashem, have mercy. You don't ask for mercy when the person's already dead. We all understand that. We say, Hashem, have mercy, this person's not well. This person needs a refuah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please have rachmanis on this individual. Give them a chance to heal. And if we're still saying, Rachim, na for Yerushalayim, Rachim, na for Beis HaMikdash, it must be that Beis HaMikdash is still alive. I leave you with the words of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, in his Adaras Eliyahu, explains the psukim from this past Shabbos' Haftorah. Artzechem shemama areichem serufos eish admaschem lenegdechem zarem oichem osam. Everything's being taken away. Your land is being destroyed. Your cities are being destroyed. The very earth is being destroyed. The Vilna Gaon explained, Artzechem is Eretz Yisrael. Areichem is Yerushalayim. Admaschem is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. And he explains, based on Chazal, that the Beis HaMikdash is a place of Adama, the Mizbeach Adama. Chazal say that a person is called Adam because Adam HaRishon and the Beis HaMikdash have a very deep relationship. The place of the Mizbeach is the place of Adam HaRishon. Hashem made a person Adam, Ofer min ha'adamah. As Chazal say, Malamit shabara sa Adam mimakor Beis HaMikdash. We were all created from Beis HaMikdash. My life is inextricably tied up to the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, says the Vilna Gaon, Ukamo she'ikr chiyus ha'adam min ha'adamah. Just like we came from the earth and were sustained by the earth, kein ha'ikr ha'chiyus mi Beis HaMikdash. Our life is dependent upon the Beis HaMikdash. So in this kina, as we long for the Beis HaMikdash and we mourn the Beis HaMikdash, we're mourning something that's supposed to be so real and so alive. And unfortunately, in its current state, it feels dead to us. But we have to remember, like Rav Chaim Volozhiner said, it lives on high. If we can prepare ourselves, we'll be zochet to bring it down and taste that sweet life that the Beis HaMikdash offered Klal Yisrael. Al Khorban Beis HaMikdash, Ki Uras V'Yichudash, Espor B'chol Shana V'Shana Mispeil Chadash, Al HaKodesh V'Al HaMikdash, Yisaser La'alim T'Rashim Shimei, Zaz Tavayim B'Nei Chadash, V'yata Ha'ish M'Shnei, Shnei Mikdashim Hashem Ma'alu V'Mata, Zeh Aga Zeh Nam Tachvish v'Nabei v'Amita Roshei Abadim K'ding Nesuvi Ben Aparoichos V'Arba Gachalim Nivir Pais.